Welcome to The Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson, and today's podcast, well, it's going to be about fear. But first, just a little bit of housekeeping. As I always mention, the Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, Part 1, Behavior Management, is available on Amazon Kindle. I encourage you to get out and check that book out. It is a great resource for parents of kids of all ages, from birth through adolescence. It covers what is typical behavior for kids at different ages, you know, how parents can better manage those behaviors, and especially how to prevent those behaviors from becoming more problematic behaviors later on. The Elimination Diet Manual is also available on Amazon Kindle, another great resource to look at how your diet may be affecting your physical and mental health. Again, a great resource. Just 38 days is all it takes to look at your diet to see if anything that you're consuming on a regular basis may be contributing to some of those difficulties. Finally, the Parenting Your ADHD Child course is available and up and running on PaedeiaLLC.com. That's PaedeiaLLC.com. Click on courses and you'll be able to find the course there, the Parenting Your ADHD Child. It's a great resource. Not just because I made it. I think it's a great resource because it covers all of the things that I typically talk to parents about in therapy, in our sessions. But it's presented in both videos and the audio is there if you choose not to watch the video, which is just fine. But there's videos of me presenting some of the information, but also just the audio. There's an outline for each lecture, as well as some worksheets and other resources that you will have available to you as you're working through the course. 21 lessons. Again, it covers everything that I typically work with patients and families on to help them understand what ADHD is, our typical treatment modalities and the way that we manage them. But of course, the emphasis is really on more than half of the lectures are really on things that parents can and should consider to help structure the home and make it a little bit more consistent in what we need it to be for that child with ADHD. And not just ADHD, but really any behavioral issues or any other conditions like that. So check it out. You can, when you go there, you can see the whole outline. You can see what each lesson covers, what's included in each lesson. Again, hopefully you will find it to be a great resource. And it covers everything, like I said, that we typically do in session, in treatment. So, and all for the cost of one therapy session. So hopefully you will find it helpful and effective. All right. Well, I think that's all the announcements for now. I hope you enjoy this podcast. I hope that this podcast makes you think about some things that you can, you know, write to me and we can have a dialogue, have a discussion about some of these issues, because these are going to be issues that it really is going to take all of us working together to try to resolve, not just for ourselves personally, but for others as well. So enjoy the podcast. Welcome to The Mental Breakdown. Now, what you just heard, you probably recognized, was Yoda. And Yoda, that line from the Star Wars movie franchise is among the most commonly stated. It's very well known. And I think that it is so poignant to what's going on in our world today. Last week on July 28th, I had the opportunity to sit on a forum, a community forum called Cops in Community. And what it focused on was that there was myself as well as some other community leaders and police officers and sheriff's deputies. We were all sitting on this panel talking about these recurring issues of both police brutality, police violence against citizens, but also this phenomenon that we're experiencing now on almost a weekly or at least biweekly basis of citizens directly attacking and targeting police officers. And so we met to talk about some of these issues, and we took questions from the audience and from people who wrote into us. And if you're interested, you can go to the Facebook page for The Ledger, and they broadcasted it live through the Facebook Live app. So you can watch the whole forum there. The video is a little bit farther away, but you can hear everything. There wasn't a lot to see. We were sitting at tables and talking, but you can certainly hear everything. Now, the forum did a very good job, I think, of talking about some of these issues. But what it really did for me is it set the foundation for a much broader, much more significant conversation that we need to have. While we are certainly experiencing these real specific issues in our country right now, I think that the underlying problem, the underlying issue, is fear. We are living in a world right now where we are constantly bombarded with quote-unquote evidence, with suggestions, with encouragement to be afraid. We are constantly told that we're in danger, that there are those out there attempting to harm us, that this person or that group of people, their primary focus in life is to hurt you financially, physically, emotionally. In some way, there are, depending on the station, the TV channel that you watch, depending on what you listen to, there are numbers of people out there whose sole purpose in life is to harm you. And as we become more and more exposed to this, I think that the fear continues to grow. We've never seen the amount of stress-related disorders, the amount of anxiety that we do today. It just hasn't been present at this level, as far as I have ever seen in the years that I've worked in the mental health field. In the past 20 years, I've never seen it at this level, and I think that in large part it's because of this fear mongering from every aspect of life. And so one of the things I'm going to talk about is just kind of mention some of these specific areas. As I was putting this podcast together or thinking about this podcast, I was really having a hard time because there's so many directions that I would like to go with it. And this is one of those podcasts that's difficult to do alone, because this is a dialogue. We need a dialogue. We need to be talking about what is going on, what is happening in the world. And that's a discussion. It's best with a discussion. And instead of, I'm sitting here alone talking to a camera, and I'm certain there's going to be times, which there already have been times during this podcast, where I'm just looking for the words, because it's such an issue that, and the problem is that there's not a specific answer. There's not a specific remedy, but we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But let's talk about some of the ways in which the fear, this imposed fear or this encouraged fear, is affecting us. First off, we are told, encouraged to feel fearful for our health every day. Whether it's, the Zika virus now, or it was the Ebola virus from 2014 or so, or even remember the flu virus, the swine flu virus, the H1N1 from 2009. We are constantly told that, oh my gosh, this is the next virus that's going to be the beginning of the apocalypse. This is what's going to kill, so many people in the world. And, while it's, it's scary, it's devastating, and it is affecting some people, I'm not discounting that in any way. But I have never met anyone with who ever had Ebola. I've never met anyone who has had the Zika virus. I think I've met maybe two or three people who had H1N1. And of course, those who had H1N1 survived. That's how I ended up meeting them. But we are told that, you know, this is it. This is it. And it comes from the news media. It comes from, you know, they do a very good job of using graphics and audio and pictures and all this stuff to impose that fear that, you know, look, here's the mosquito that could give you the Zika virus. Well, we all know what mosquitoes are. We've all been bitten by mosquitoes, especially those of us who live here in Florida. And so it just imposes that fear of, well, I'm not going to go outside in the evening because there's mosquitoes out there, and those mosquitoes could have the Zika virus and they could give me the Zika virus. The likelihood, the probability is almost zero, almost zero. But yet we are reminded most nights that that's a realistic possibility. And we will continue to be reminded of that until the next big thing, until there's another issue that's going to gain and garner the attention of the news media that they're going to latch onto. And then it will be that is constantly thrown and used as a source of fear and anxiety. So our health is one thing. Again, whether it's these viruses or it's our physical health, I mean, how many news programs, segments have you seen on physical health? You know, the risk of diabetes and how it's going to, you know, destroy our culture, our world, and all these people are dying. Do people die from diabetes? Absolutely. But where's the solution? We are imposed and we are told to be fearful of these things, but what is the news and some of these different groups? What are they doing to really do something to improve that situation? I've seen very little. And in fact, if we really look and think about it, there has been no change. If anything, it's getting worse. There are more cases of obesity. There's more cases of diabetes and heart disease. It continues to be at the top of the list for causes of fatalities and deaths in the United States. So we can keep reporting on it and we can keep inciting fear, but until we start talking about a solution, well, we're just creating fear. We're just creating anxiety. We're creating stress. The same anxiety and fear and depression and stress that's going to contribute to more obesity and more health-related issues. Because we all know very clearly that chronic stress increases our risk of getting ill and sick and contracting illnesses and viruses and problems, increases the risk of cardiac problems, increases the risk for diabetes and being overweight and those kinds of issues. So we know that there's that relationship, yet we're going to continue to engage in actions that incite fear, incite and create stress and feelings of frustration and overwhelm. So it doesn't make sense, but, you know, again, there is frequent reminders about why we are at risk for health-related issues and to the point of death. We're reminded of that frequently. The second area that we are encouraged to be fearful of is socially. And what I mean is that we are told almost daily that there is somebody out there that wants to do us harm. That there are people, perhaps even living in your neighborhood, who want to do you harm. Does that happen? Sure. There are situations where it's like that. But for the most part, for most of us, is that the case? No. There are people who are out there who are dangerous. Sure. But there have always been people out there who are dangerous. There have always been people out there who will do harm to people in certain situations. But does that mean that because I saw a video of a police officer shooting an unarmed civilian, does that mean that every police officer that I meet is going to do that. No, because I saw a young African-American male do harm to somebody or commit a crime in some way, does that mean that every young African-American male is going to do that? Of course not. But yet, when we are repeatedly exposed to those stimuli, when that 30-second clip is played over and over and over and over and over again, when we are constantly exposed to it, that becomes our reality. That becomes what we see as, well, that must be the way that it is. And we have to be very aware of that. We have to be cautious of that because there's no truth behind that. You know, we hear so often, you know, some tragedy happens, and the first thing that we want to do, especially if it's somebody of Middle Eastern descent, we immediately want to connect it to ISIS. Well, okay, ISIS is a major issue that needs to be addressed. But is ISIS something that you, Joe the plumber, to herald back to a number of years ago, is it something that you need to worry about? Probably not. And even if it was, what are we going to do about it? You know, what am I, you know, living in Central Florida, in a small town in Central Florida, what am I going to do about it? Is it something that I need to stress and worry and be overwhelmed by? Something that I need to be consumed by? There's nothing I can do about it. I'm not going to Afghanistan or anywhere in the Middle East to do anything. I'm not doing any research or I'm not monitoring anybody to know what their motives are, what they're going to do. So why should I allow myself to be overwhelmed and stressed and anxious about that, despite the fact that the news media and sometimes politicians tell me that I need to be worried about it on almost a daily basis? It doesn't make sense, and it certainly doesn't have a resolution. It doesn't have, you know, that kind of worry serves no purpose. It doesn't have a direct outcome. Sure, you could worry about running out of gas, but that's something that you can remedy. That's something that you can address. You can get gas. Being worried that ISIS is going to attack, well, there's nothing I can do about it. There's no strategy. There's nothing that I can do to prepare for that because that's unpredictable. And so even though we are encouraged to stress about it, it's something that, you know, we need to do a better job of protecting ourselves from that. Now, the third area is, and this is a challenging one. I'm gonna stay on the periphery for this one. But the third one is political. I have been through several election cycles now as an informed adult. I have never seen it like this before. I have never seen a situation where individuals on both sides are attempting to incite so much fear and stress and anxiety from us as a citizenship, as a populace. We are told about the dangers should this person be elected or that person be elected. People use words like, you know, he or she is going to destroy the United States. He or she is going to, you know, change the world. As we, you know, Donald Trump, for example, has by many has been compared to Hitler. Hillary, you know, as Donald Trump refers to her, crooked Hillary, is referred to as a murderer. Yet, you know, we have these feelings and emotions about it, and we're creating the fear that we are experiencing, the fear that we allow ourselves to experience, is going to do nothing but cause us problems. It's going to do nothing but cause us harm. One of those two will be elected as president in just a couple of months. What that means is, whether your candidate is elected or not, the people from the other side are going to be so angry, so frustrated, so fearful, that I do worry about what's going to happen, what people are going to do, how they're going to respond to that, and why. There's memes that incite this anger and frustration. There are pictures of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton on Facebook, and it's just coats the internet with these memes suggesting the evil deeds of these two individuals. Now, you may not agree with one or either of them as it relates to their politics or their perspectives or their positions on various issues. But you should vote based upon those issues. You should vote based upon and think about things as it relates to those issues, not because we are so encouraged to be fearful. You know, when we make decisions based upon fear, it only leads to problems. It only leads to rash decisions. Rash decisions. I could hardly say that one. It only leads to problems because we are making quick decisions that are for the immediate. We're not thinking about the future. We're thinking about right now. Oh my gosh, I'm in danger right now. I need somebody to save me. And I feel like this person is going to save me. That's not the way that we need to think about the world. That certainly isn't the way that we need to think about things politically, yet that is exactly how we're encouraged to do so right now in the news media and based upon the information that we're given, again, on a daily basis. Now, the next piece is related to those political issues, and that is economically. Politicians and pundits and people use words that I think most of us really have no way to appreciate. We are told that if this politician or that politician is elected, that he or she will have us in debt by trillions of dollars. Now, trillions of dollars, that's a one. 1 trillion is a one followed by 12 zeros. I have no appreciation for that amount of money. I have nothing to compare it to. $1 trillion. Now, what does that mean? I don't think any of us have any idea. I mean, certainly no individual has that kind of access to money. You know, there's a very, very small minority of people who have up to maybe half of that. And again, we're talking about people like Donald Trump and some of these billionaires from around the world. But most of us, 99.9% of us, have absolutely no appreciation of that. Yet, those kinds of words are used to incite fear. Well, you know, if this person is elected, then he or she is going to get us into trillions of dollars of debt. And so your children and your children's children and your children's children's children are going to be paying this back. Well, okay, so some of that may be true, but when it comes to these kinds of things, when it comes to these kinds of topics, we certainly have been in similar situations before, maybe not to the tune of trillions of dollars, again, whatever that word means. It's so difficult to conceptualize it. But we've been told almost this exact same thing before, and we've been able to work our way back into a positive direction. We've had politicians in the past who have inherited tremendous debt and through various programs and initiatives was able to reverse a lot of that. And maybe not completely reverse it, but do a pretty good job of taking a dent out of it. But when we are living our lives thinking that, oh my goodness, you know, trillions of dollars, well, we'll never recover from that. We'll never be able to do this or be able to. What we're really just talking about is math. We're talking about, okay, this idea of trillions of dollars really just comes from a calculation that happens. And that calculation can and will change on a similarly exponential scale. You know, when we're talking about, oh, we're going to cut this program, or we're going to, you know, cut back on this particular program. Well, cutting back on that program isn't going to be, oh, well, it's just, you know, a couple of $1,000s. No, we may be talking about tens of billions of dollars. Well, that takes a chunk out of, you know, the next higher level. And so is it something that we have to think about? Absolutely. But is it something that we should be fearful of? Is it something that we, again, kind of going back to what we talked about, what I mentioned before, is it something that you can do today? Is it something that you can change right now? No, it's not. Can you make decisions when you vote that will have an impact on that? Absolutely. But is it something that you need to worry about today? Is it something that you need to be stressed about today? And if it's not, set it aside and focus on the things that you need to focus on, like going to work and you know, earning enough to take care of your family. Don't worry about on a day-to-day basis. Don't worry about and become overwhelmed by this stuff that we have no control over. Now, the last issue, and again, we kind of went through some steps because this one is related to the economics, and that is education. My word, we are constantly comparing ourselves, our children, our country to others. We have these international test comparisons that we do, and the reality is we have no idea what that means. We have no idea what it means to say this country performs much better than this country on this particular test. Well, that country has a different set of values and perspectives and goals as it relates to education than this country. They're different, but yet we're saying that, hey, you know what, let's use the same metric for these two countries and let's see how close they are. Well, they're not going to be the same. There's this wonderful cartoon that I've seen a number of times, and they're, you know, someone sitting at a table and there's all these animals sitting in front of them, and it's I believe, if I remember it right, there's a group of monkeys sitting behind the table, and they said, okay, well, the final exam, this is for passing the test, passing the class, you just need to climb the tree. Well, there's an elephant and a rhino and a giraffe and all these other, and there's one monkey, and the monkey's of course excited. And the idea is that, okay, we're saying that to be quote unquote successful, you have to meet a certain level of expectations, or to be evaluated and compared with other countries and stuff, you have to be compared on this same metric. But that metric is not necessarily representative of one's particular skills or attributes. Here in the United States, we work to educate all children. Other countries don't do that. Other countries simply don't have that same mission with education. And therefore, what happens is we are trying to educate a much more diverse population than most other countries or many other countries. And so are we going to perform more poorly? Absolutely. You know, if we were only educating the top 10% of our population, well, our scores would be amazing. Our scores would be tremendous. But we're trying to educate 100% of our population. Well, that creates more difficulty. That creates more issues. And what we're doing, though, and how this is related to fear, is that we are constantly told that we're not meeting the mark. We're not doing as well as we should be doing. Our children are at risk for having no future because people from other countries are going to come over and they're going to take our jobs. They're going to take these opportunities that our kids should have. And, you know, if we don't do a better job, then, well, that's it. Our kids are doomed. They're done for because they're just not going to be able to keep up with these other countries. Well, again, the fear of that is confusing. It doesn't make sense. I often say this because I think it's very true, and this relates to all of these issues, but I'm going to use education as a specific example. When we expose ourselves to so much news media that tells us all these things that we need to be afraid of, we begin to believe, certainly, that we do in fact need to be afraid, but we also tend to believe what the information is telling us, and we start to see the world that way. We start to see, well, you know what? Our education system is pretty bad. You know what? I graduated 10 years ago, and I don't really remember how to do algebra. My teachers must have done a really poor job. Well, you haven't used algebra in 10 years, so you're not going to remember algebra. You haven't used chemistry or the stoichiometry in 20 years. Of course you're not going to remember how to use stoichiometry or to be able to help your kids with their chemistry homework so that they can understand how to balance chemical equations. But it's because you haven't practiced it. It's not because you had a bad teacher. So when we think about some of these issues, we need to step back and realize that the more that we expose ourselves to these things, the more we're going to believe it. The more we're going to say, well, you know what? It seems pretty true to me. It seems like they know what they're talking about. Again, they use these graphics and audio and this really strong attention-getting stuff in news media to really get you emotionally invested in what's happening. And really, their only goal is to keep you through the commercials so that you'll come back and watch on the other side, because that 2-minute commercial break is getting them hundreds of thousands of dollars in advertising. I mean, that's their goal. You know, when you have these 24-hour news channels and agencies, their goal is to sell time for advertisers. That's their purpose. And so whether you're listening to someone like Nancy Grace or, you know, Cooper, Anderson Cooper, or any of these other people, their goal is to keep you engaged so that you keep watching. And even if you just watch it a little bit and you notice as one program is ending, they have a spectacular way of transitioning to the next program to keep you watching, to keep you there. It's almost as though one show doesn't end for the other show. It's like it's a continuation. Well, this person is just taking over where I started. Now, they may be talking about a completely different topic, but they do it in such a way that it's just sort of a seamless one program that just keeps going, that keeps you engaged, it keeps you watching. And the more you watch, the more they can sell advertisers and the more money they are able to make. Let's not delude ourselves to believe that, you know, Fox News or MSNBC is really there just to give us information. I mean, there's no need for a 24-hour program just to give us information, especially with the internet. I mean, if there's something going on and something you want to know about, you can read about it online just as fast, if not faster, than some 24-hour news program. But yet, we allow ourselves to be exposed to that stuff in such a way that it just fosters and fuels and breeds all this fear and anxiety. So I know that this podcast is kind of meandered around and kind of gone to different places, but I what we need to realize is, are there problems? Absolutely. Are there issues that need to be addressed? Absolutely. Nobody's saying that there's not. But recognizing that there is a problem and then working to find a solution is so different than saying that this is the problem and sort of leaving it out there for you to determine, to figure out, okay, well, you know, that's just what's going to happen. But if you tune in next week, we're going to tell you how to fix the problem. Well, that is a sales pitch. That is not helping people. That's selling time. That's selling advertising and things like that. If I really wanted to tell you how to protect your family from the next big thing that's going to happen to them, well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what it is. I'm not going to tease it and say, well, if you want to know about that, tune in next Monday, because we have a whole segment that we're going to spend on it. And then, of course, you watch the next Monday and it's, you know, a 4 or 5 minute piece on something that will probably never happen to you or a loved one of yours or somebody you know. I'm not angry with the news media for this. People have to make money. They have to do what they do. And in some ways, it's entertaining. But what I'm encouraging you to do is to think about that, to consider what is happening, to consider what you're being exposed to. Because I think there's two solutions to this issue. The first is we need to recognize how much time we're allowing ourselves to be exposed to it. We spend way too much time plugged in to this kind of information, to this kind of just exposure to the fear and to the anxiety provoking stimuli that is news, that is, you know, this the pundits and everybody talking about this is why you need to be afraid of this, or this is why this person is evil, or this is why this person is the Antichrist, or whatever the case may be, whatever it is that they are going to choose to say today about someone or some topic. We need to recognize how much time we stay plugged into that and make sure that we're taking a little bit of time every day to unplug. Separate yourself from it a little bit and look at your real life. Look at your real world. Your real world is made up of people who are living life just like you, of your kids, of your loved ones, of your friends, of people who just want to be happy. They just want to live life and be happy and to do the best that they can do and to enjoy the things that they enjoy. That's what life is. So we have to make sure that we unplug some every day. The second thing is, and this is the admittedly more difficult one, and that is that we have to be more critical. You know, just because the news says something doesn't mean that it's correct. As I was using education as an example a few minutes ago, they're going to tell us repeatedly how poor our education system is, yet people from other countries, you know, do everything they can to try to come to the United States for college and for our colleges and universities. Well, if our education system is so poor, why are they trying to come to the United States to go to any school that they can go to here? Why is it that most of the major innovations in our world today, technological innovations, scientific innovations, why are the majority of those innovations, why are they being discovered here in the United States? If our education system is so poor, why are we leading the world in some of these areas? Well, I think it's because we're using this fear, we're using improper metrics to evaluate things, whether it's education or economics or whatever. We're looking at them through this tinted window and we're saying that, okay, well, you know, this is something we have to be afraid of. And we see it as a way to sell advertising. We see it as a way to get people engaged, but not engaged in a healthy way. Engaged in a way that's fear-based, that's anxiety-based, that's really going to only incite problem. You know, I'm very concerned about what's going to happen over the next couple of months with our election and with things that are going on, just because, you know, things are so divisive. There's so much anger. There's so much, as Yoda said, there's so much fear and anger and hatred and suffering that's happening right now because we are so consumed with what we're told and what we're told to believe that we're not really looking at the world the way that we should be. We're not thinking about things the way that we should be. I encourage you, I want you as best you can to unplug some. Think about your mental health a little bit. Think about what you're exposing yourself to. I'm not telling you how to vote, how to believe, or anything like that. That's your personal decision. But make those decisions based upon rational ideas, rational thoughts. Don't do it based upon fear. When we live our life out of fear, again, as I said earlier, we end up making decisions that are impulsive, that are temporary, that are only solutions for right now. They're not long-term solutions. They're not anything that's going to get us where we ultimately hope to be. It's going to be decisions. They will instead be decisions that are for right now, that make us feel better right now, but are going to potentially cause us problems later. Fear is a deadly, deadly adversary. And the more that we allow it in, the more that we allow fear and stress and those kinds of things to enter our life and to influence what we think and feel and all, the more problems we're going to have. Not just mental health, but physical health, social health, emotional health. It's going to affect every part of our life. And so now it's starting to sound like I'm trying to create the fear of being fearful. And I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to help you understand that we all have the ability to control some of these things that we're exposed to. We have the ability to control the access that that these outlets have on our lives. And when we can take and exercise that control and limit what we're exposed to, well, that's going to lead to a much better outcome for us. And it's going to make things much better for us, not just temporarily or not just immediately, but in the long term as well. So I don't know. It feels like this podcast went for a very long time. I have no idea how long it lasted, but you know, these are discussions I think that we need to have. I think these are discussions that we need to be talking about in a civil, you know, non-confrontational way. I don't think that anybody who has perspectives on either side of any of these issues is necessarily all right or all wrong. I think that there are aspects of truth on both sides, just as I think that there's aspects of false on both sides. But we need to take the time to talk about it, and we need to take the time to make to protect ourselves from the dangers of fear and the dangers of the stress that these issues impose. So unplug a little bit, think critically, talk to others about it in a healthy way. Talk to them about it. And I think that you'll find that some of that anxiety and stress will be relieved. So, all right. Well, I hope that this gave you some things to think about. Write to me on Facebook, Twitter. All the links are in the show notes. I would love to have you write a review or rate the podcast on iTunes, just again, so it increases others' awareness and lets other people know that we're here talking about these things, because this is really something that we all need to be talking about. So, all right, until next time, don't let fear in. Stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.